All right. Well, thank you, moderator, for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you all have enjoyed your time in New Orleans. I've been extremely ecstatic that every meal I get to eat oysters and gumbo, so I don't know if I'm ever end up leaving. But as you mentioned, I'm going to be talking about a multiple facet project that I've been working on with Drs. Tyson Raper and Mike Bushmull, and that's building a program to help assist in guiding our cotton replant decisions. Mostly what I'm going to be talking about today is the use of response surface regression modeling to compare planting date and population. So I know we're all experts on cotton, so I'm not going to go over all of these slides, but a few things I wanted to really make note of or remind you of is cotton's ability to compensate. We see down here on the bottom right, cotton has both vegetative and reproductive branches. So those vegetative branches are typically used to promote plant growth to get us to our flowering stages. But in the event that many of its neighbors do not emerge in the row, that vegetative plant can actually, a branch can grow into its own plant, producing bolls as well. The only problem is a lot of times we have a lot of boll load on our vegetative branches. It tends to make our crop a lot later in maturity, and it's a little harder to get all of those bolls in the basket at the end of the year. With cotton, we can also predict its growth and development as well as emergence using moisture and temperature, especially emergence. We can use a Wendura model to kind of predict our plant's going to emerge about 5 or 10 days after planting using both moisture and temperature. So my next few slides are extremely cheesy. They're just a bunch of green dots. But just want to kind of illustrate what we're looking for in plant populations when we go out to scout our fields today. We're typically looking for 10.5 to 13 plants per meter as an optimum planting density. But there's been multiple papers that have suggested that yield's not going to be negatively impacted until it falls to less than 3.25 plants per meter. So oftentimes if we have good uniform stands and have more than 3.25 or 1 plant per foot, we should still be able to see optimum yield potential. However, again, if we have issues with uniformity or a large number of skips within areas, this can lead to poor maturity or later maturing of our crop and can cause issues. This is particularly beneficial if we go out as scouts and look to assess our plant populations, determine we have enough plants just based on stand counting, but are not able to quantify our uniformity and how that might have an impact on our yield. So over the past couple years, I've presented a couple different methods that I've been working on using UAS imagery to conduct stand counts. The first one I presented was based from data we collected in 2016. This was just using red, green, and blue imagery from a digital camera that was equipped on an Iris Plus. This is a very inexpensive setup, about $400 to $500. I did all image analysis using a macro I developed in Fiji, the portion of ImageJ. The whole goal here was to try to develop a quick and easy program that a producer or scout knows the poor history of that field, could quickly go over there, take a couple of snapshots, don't have to generate any ortho imagery, and try to get a stand count for those general areas. We saw pretty good correlation from these methods with R-squareds over 0.85, and we're going to continue to look at using RGB imagery more so in a rectified capacity to also do stand counts. Last year, at a couple of meetings, I've presented on a different method that I'd used using reflectance data to also do stand counts. We had a custom quadcopter with a Red Edge M sensor, and we used a combination of Python programming as well as ArcGIS to build a program to threshold and then count our plants, and had really good success, especially at lower altitudes. So some other things we need to consider when we're going out and scouting is our planting dates. In the upper portions of the cotton belt, we generally have recommended 10 to 20 days to get our planters across the ground, get seeds in, and get them emerged. And there's been multiple models that have come out suggesting the length of time it typically takes to grow a cotton crop. And this is highly influenced by temperature and our accumulating our DD60s. There's actually one of our students is presenting a poster on the effect of DD60s and days to different growth stages in modern cultivars. But the biggest thing is typically if we can get our crop in earlier, we're going to have a more successful yield up to a certain date point. There's also some other invaluable benefits of getting our crop in earlier and harvesting sooner that we don't usually think about. My generation, as millennials, we want to go get planted, get sprayed, and then head to the river or tie ourselves to a traco and spin around a mud hole. And something else we don't think about is keeping our landlords happy. If we can get the crop out sooner, get cash in their hands, they're going to be more inclined to continue contracts with us so that we can manage soil fertility and pH and other things like that on a more long-term deal. So with those things in mind, for this objective, we look to subject Lent yield to response surface modeling to estimate the potential based on planting population and assessment date. So we attempted to have at least three planting dates in each location. We targeted our first planting date to fall within the recommended window for that respective state. And then 7 days after 50% emergence of our greatest population, we drop in and plant the same populations again, as well as 14 days after application. These studies were conducted in five different locations, three of which were in West Tennessee, and then one was in Mississippi, and one was in Missouri. We had one pilot study in 2016, expanded on this in 2017. And if you'll notice on the initial planting dates, a lot of those are later May, actually falling outside of the recommended window. So in 2018, we tried to get a few earlier plantings and get some earlier data sets so we could subject that to that model so that might not suggest that we plant too soon. For all studies, we selected Delta Pine 1522, which is an early to mid maturing variety, just to give us a good variety to kind of represent maturities that would be used in the different locations. Pictured on the right is actually an aerial image of our crop about peak flower, I believe, and this is NDVI calculated. This is a demonstration of the planting populations we selected. We had 10.5 seed per meter, 6.75 seed per meter, 3 seed per meter, 1.5, and 3/4 seed per meter. For all locations and planting dates, we made all of our management decisions based on the greatest population at that first planting. So this is kind of a simulation of what a producer would have if he has multiple planting dates or replants in a field. He's typically going to go off of that majority of the field and make his all of his recommendations for management based on that first planting. Within each site, we use a randomized complete block design with four replications of each treatment. Each treatment was a four-row plot between a 96.5 to 101.5 centimeter spacings, and at once reaching full maturity, we harvested the two center rows. I'll make mention that we did have a lot of locations, a lot of planting dates to capture, so we had to pull out some of our ancient equipment to get that done. Pictured here is actually my advisor, Dr. Raper, who had developed a new auto steer technology. I needed some weight, so he threw some fertilizer on his drawbars up there and actually cut a hole in one of the fertilizer bags with a tie rod. So anytime he turned off center, he started peeling fertilizer in the plot, and so kept him straight. I don't know if he's going to continue work on this or not, but did develop that. So as for ground truthing, once we reach full emergence of all of our stands, we ground truth by hand counting each individual plant in all of the plots. And if I refer to plants throughout this presentation, that will mean plants per hectare. I needed a continuous data set for planting date, so we subjected our planting dates to the Julian calendar, giving us a range of 1 to 365. Having multiple different field sites with different yield potentials, we wanted to normalize our yield data, so we collected or calculated a relative yield, basically taking plot weight and dividing it by the maximum weight of each plot. And then we subjected these data to response surface regression modeling in SAS 9.4. So to get into some of the results, I'll first familiarize you with the graph. On our Y response axis you have in the center is our predicted yield. This ranges from 0 to 1, with 1 would be the greatest yield and 0 is the poorest. On our left side X axis, we have our plants per hectare ranging from 0 out to 150,000. On our right X axis, we have our days after planting ranging from 100 to 180. So this model was very predictive of our data sets with an R-squared of 0.67. All terms actually were highly significant, both number of plants as well as planting date. That linear effect was extremely significant. Also, the quadratic of both plants and planting date was also highly significant. So you can see with our number of plants, we kind of had a peak when we got up to those higher population ranges and then started to slope off. Similarly with our days after after planting, we had a pretty just a flat line early on, and then we started to drop off a little later. And then we also had a significant quadratic interaction of our planting date as well as population. So when we look at the stationary point suggesting optimum planting date and population, it suggested March 21st. So I mentioned last year we had a lot of later initial plantings. We wanted to incorporate some earlier ones. Preliminary data from last year actually suggested that we plant before the previous crop was even out. I did not know this model was actually could predict the future, because I think we are going to still be harvesting when we plant this year. But the biggest thing to take from that is that we want to try to plant earlier. The earlier we can get it in, the better we're going to see on our yields. As for population, we actually saw optimum at about 6.3 plants per meter. So this isn't but maybe twice the minimum range that you can fall into and still have optimum yield, but it's much less than what we initially recommend or usually recommend to go out with our planter and seed across our acreage. So to improve the models, a couple different things we want to do. The first thing is use this for potential and not optimization. It's going to be really easy if we have a model such as this to subject the number of plants that we might want to seed across an area based on that planting date and see what how great of yield we could have. But we need to use it more for potential. After we go out and assess our stands, we'll consider what day it is and then tell us what our yield percentage is, then to make that decision on whether we're going to keep that stand or look to replant. Another thing, we mentioned the importance of uniformity. There's not really been a lot of literature that's been published on an exact skip length that causes major yield loss. It's more kind of a general just conclusion. But we want to try to identify that and quantify how large of skips do impact yield and incorporate that into the model as a uniformity coefficient, so we'll have a little more influence than just planting date and population. So as I mentioned, again, we want to look at building that program to assess uniformity of plant, both on the ground aspect and in generating in this regression model, as well as doing it from the air to see if we can identify skip lengths, how large they are, and then quantify them based on areas to determine that uniformity that we have in a user-selected area. We also want to see how planting date and population affects fiber quality. So we just kind of generally hypothesized that both micronair as well as leaf might potentially be affected by planting date and population. We're just waiting on results back from the classing office so we can take a look at that as well. And then the final end goal is to kind of tie all this together. We want to take our stand counts, our skip lengths, that uniformity coefficient, as well as the data I presented today, put it into a single application where you can simply fly over a field, drop your images in, and it's going to come back with a prescription map suggesting plant here, accept here, and then kind of make your own decision in other areas. So just a general take home real quickly, we saw that poor stand may not negatively impact yield potential. We saw that calendar date's probably going to have a more impact on our yield potential than population. We're doing this more for replant, but this also might suggest that we should look into seeding rates a little more heavily and maybe potentially drop back on our seeding rates. Hopefully none of the judges are seed reps that are going to boot me off the stage for saying that, but potentially looking at a little less seeding rates than what we typically go out with now. And also after we've generated these maps with planting dates and populations, we can also use these for managing our crop in season with fertility rates and plant growth regulators. Some places might need to be a little more regressive than others, so we'll have those maps to kind of give us an idea of where we can prescribe those different products. So with that, I'd first like to thank Dr. Ed Barnes and Cotton Incorporated for partial funding of this research. This part where I like to say I like to thank my family, my two furry children, for helping out. But right now, they only know how to hit escape and backspace anytime I'm working, so usually more of a negative than a positive. But with that, I'll quit rambling, and I'll open it up for any questions or comments if you have them for me. Wow. Thank you.